This morning I want to turn our attentions to a story in which Jesus invites a group of fishermen to follow him. Now at the beginning of this story, these fellas are sort of inadvertently a part of a group of people who are listening to Jesus. And so maybe they are sort of listening with one ear and doing their other thing, which was mending their nets or cleaning their nets with the other. But during the course of this conversation in which they hear Jesus, in which he addresses them, they go from being hearers of Jesus to people who are brought into his work, and they become doers of his word. The book of James says that we ought not to just be hearers, but also doers of the word. And we see in this story a transition from people who just come and listen about Jesus, listen to things about Jesus, to become people who are following Jesus, from hearing to doing. Now, when Jesus speaks to us, to everyone, he means for people not only to hear, but to hear so that it would transform their lives, transform their actions, their thoughts, their decisions. He means for people to hear and then decide to get involved with his good work in the world. We are continuing this morning a series of messages we began a couple of weeks ago in which we are looking at the Gospel of Luke, and we're going to be plotting our way through or marking our time together through the Gospel of Luke, let's just say for as long as it takes. That's kind of open-ended. I'm not saying it's going to be a year, I'm not going to say it's going to be 6 months, but it could be. We'll see. But we're just going to sort of linger in these words of Jesus. And so I want to invite you to stand with me out of reverence and respect for the Word of God, and let's hear God's Word to us this morning from Luke 5. You can turn in your Bibles or you can turn to the screen and see Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. And when I'm done reading, I'll say, "This is the Word of the Lord." And if you believe it to be true, you can respond by saying, "Thanks be to God." So listen carefully. We're reading God's holy Word. On one occasion, while the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, and he saw two boats by the lake, but the fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. Getting into one of the boats, which was Simon's, he asked him to put out a little from the land. And he sat down and he taught the people from the boat. And when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." And Simon answered, "Master, we toiled all night and took nothing. But at your word, yet if you say so, I will let down the nets." And when they had done this, they enclosed such a large number of fish and their nets were breaking. They signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and to help them. And they came and they filled both boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid, for from now on you will be catching men." And when they had brought in their nets, brought in their boats to the land, they left everything and followed him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Heaven and earth will pass away, but what we just read never will. Amen, and you can be seated. When Jesus speaks, what people hear is the word of God. Now, this might sound like the sort of churchy thing that you would expect somebody like me to say to somebody like you, but if we look at this story and we imagine ourselves as a part of that crowd that day, what you realize is that wherever Jesus went, what people encountered with this man from Galilee was the Word of God. And whenever he spoke to them, he spoke as somebody who knew that every one of them were people who were, in one way or another, sort of consumed or vexed or challenged with all sorts of cares and concerns and worries and anticipations, just as we are, each one of us. And everywhere Jesus went, he said to the people, I know that you are carrying these heavy burdens. I know that you are struggling in one way or another. I know that you're wondering where the next meal or the next paycheck, or you're wondering whether your family will, that rift in the family will be mended. I know that you are carrying these heavy burdens. I know because I'm human. I'm human just as you are. And I've experienced these as well. But I want to say to you, let me carry them with you. Yoke yourself to me and allow me to join you, because my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I know the challenges you face, and my promise to you is that I have come to give you life, not more burdens. So, Jesus' words are so compelling to them and to us that what we are hearing is the very word of God. So that day, within the crowd, there were a few fishermen. One was named Simon, and then James and John, the sons of Zebedee, or as I like to call them, as they're later referred, the sons of thunder. Feel like there should be AC/DC music wherever James and John go. That was a little irreverent, but please bear with me. I am a child of the 80s and 90s. So there were fishermen there that day. And what were they doing? They were mending their nets. They were cleaning their nets. But there's something missing from their nets. And do you know what's missing from their nets? Fish. Very good. You were listening. So that night they had caught nothing. So while they were cleaning their nets, this crowd that is listening to this guy Jesus over here starts to get bigger, and it grows and grows until finally it's sort of subsuming Peter or Simon and James and John until they are a part of the crowd, and sort of by accident or sort of by happenstance, they find themselves listening to Jesus. Without really trying, they become hearers of Jesus. Now, does anyone know what it's like in their life, or know of someone where you sort of mistakenly, or unbeknownst to you, or inadvertently become a hearer of Jesus? You know, maybe it was somebody who was a coworker of yours who, in the lunch break room, just kept talking and talking and talking about what Jesus was doing in his life or her life. Or maybe if you are like me, you came to know about Jesus not going to youth group. And let me tell you, I loved youth group, but I loved it not so much because we got to listen and hear about Jesus. Do you know why I loved youth group? Because on Wednesday nights in the middle of the week, that's where the cute girls were. Even by accident, sometimes people can begin to follow Jesus. They can become hearers of his word. But then what happens, and this is the first key point that I want to show you, and this is when God starts to speak to you and he invites you to get involved with what he is doing in the world. Rather than people who just sort of casually listen to him, Jesus challenges Simon to do something about it, to get involved. And what happens in verse 3 is Jesus gets into one of the boats, one of these very normal, everyday boats, and he says to Simon, put out a ways. I need to do some teaching. Now, I love this point. I love this, how simple and how remarkable, but how profound this point is. What Jesus is saying to Simon, in effect, is, Simon, you have something. You have something that I need to do what I came here to do. You have a boat. I need a boat. so that I can teach these people. So let me use your boat. Every single one of you in your life will have a moment, and maybe it will happen many, many times, maybe it will happen just once, where Jesus will say to you, you have something that I need, something that you already possess. It's part of your personality, is a part of what he has given you in blessings. It is something that you have that I need to keep doing the thing that I was sent here to do. It doesn't have to be fancy or religious. It doesn't even have to be a holy thing. It can be something very ordinary. You have a car. Meals on Wheels needs drivers. Maybe God is inviting you to use that car. Or you have time. You're no longer working. Say you're retired. And Kids Hope, our volunteer program at OJ Neighbors Elementary School, is always looking for volunteers. You have some time. Maybe God, maybe Jesus is inviting you to allow him to use your time for his purposes. Every single one of you is uniquely positioned to allow God to use what you already have for his good purposes in the world. It doesn't mean you have to go off and get a graduate degree, or it doesn't mean you have to go off and get trained and go into the remote places of the world. If that's what God is calling you to do, wonderful. We need people in far-off places, but we also need people right here. But I want to tell you that this is already happening in Wabash Presbyterian Church. I could go around the room here today, and each one of you, I could say, you are allowing God to use you, and it is wonderful. But I just want to say a few things. There's one among you who each month sends us the most thoughtful, sometimes funny, sometimes self-deprecating greeting cards. Harriet McLaughlin, you are an excellent encourager. You share that joy that you have of God in your heart with us and with others on a regular basis. Kyle Kerr and Randy up in the sound booth and in the video, you guys have gifts, and Randy's not with us today, but Jeremy, you can pass it on to Randy. You guys have gifts in technology with computers and audio engineering, and you have allowed God to use those, and it's wonderful, and it blesses us. Linda Gable, where is Linda? Is she downstairs? There she is in the back. There is not an event that takes place in this church in which Linda is not here well before setting up tables, getting chairs out, just doing kind of the background preparatory work. And let me tell you, as somebody who, you know, when I plan these events, you've got to plan for things like tables and chairs. And it's so nice not to have to think about tables and chairs, just to know that they're going to be taken care of because Linda has done it. Tim Eubank's not here, but Tim is a dispatch person for the city police, and Tim is an excellent communicator, and he has a very tender heart, and every time someone calls 911 in Wabash from 11 p.m. to 5 a.m. or 7 a.m., they are met by a kind, encouraging, helpful voice who wants to be a person who helps them. And I could go on and on, and we could probably look at each one of the people here and to the person next to you and say, wow, you are using what God has already given you for his good purposes. Way to go. Thank you. Anything that you actually have, anything that you already have is something that God could be using. And he could be saying to you this morning, hey, you've been here and you've been listening. You've been doing a lot of listening. Now it's time to get involved. Now it's time to take that first step of discipleship. And the second thing that happens, and it just happens in a few verses later, is that when Jesus has finished teaching, after he was through, Jesus turned to Simon and he said, put out into the deep. Now, Jesus could have said, just, you know, go a little ways further because, you know, we can still touch here and it's still kind of safe and we'll go a little bit further up. But no, he says, go out into the deep. And I think that's a profound metaphor for discipleship, for faith. When we get in the boat with Jesus, he invites us out into the deep places. And Simon's next step of faith, discipleship, was allowing Jesus to make the call, to follow Jesus' leading. And the second step of discipleship will always lead us to the place that is over our heads, where we don't know the way forward always, where it requires that faith and that trust that where Jesus is leading is the right place to go. Now, what happened to Peter, Simon, I keep calling him Peter, so he's not Peter yet. Jesus will change his name in a few chapters. So right now, he's Simon. So what happened to Simon was that Jesus asked him to do something that he thought was the wrong thing to do. He thought, that doesn't make any sense. Jesus, we just finished teaching, or just finished fishing all night long. And, you know, maybe it was a full moon and the fish could kind of see our nets. Maybe it was, for whatever reason, we didn't catch any fish, Jesus. So this doesn't make sense. What you're asking us to do in the daytime with these nets that are made of linen and are big and bulky, the fish, you know what they're going to do? They're going to see them from a mile away. And you know what they're going to do, Jesus? They're going to turn around and they're going to swim away. And while they're going to do it, they're going to laugh like only fish do. They're going to laugh at us, those fishies. Jesus, what you are asking me to do doesn't make any sense. But this is the second challenge of discipleship. Trusting that Jesus is always leading you into a good place where you are meant to be and where you are meant to be used. Very often when Jesus invites us to put out into the deep, that is the thing that requires us to trust him the most. Again, I want to illustrate this story with one from our congregation. Mary Kramer, I know that a few months ago, you would have, when the idea of going to Myanmar to pray, you probably thought to yourself, this is completely ridiculous. I'm getting the nod of, yes, it was ridiculous. It doesn't make any sense. But for whatever reason, you remained attentive. You remained open to God's leading and to that still small voice. And you left even though it didn't make sense to you. And I know that this last week, you shared with us what an amazing experience that was. And you've only made it through part way. And you're going to have a second time of sharing so we can learn about her journey with the Burmese people. We as a church have been on a spiritual journey ourselves. You all, for much longer than Amy and I, have been here with you. But in the years that we have had a chance to be your pastor, I have seen remarkable spiritual growth. And it's so encouraging. It's so encouraging to hear. This last year, I believe, brought us more growth and more confidence and confirmation in God's presence and faithfulness in this place than I have ever experienced here and really in any place, in any church that I've been a part of. Lives were transformed. People took risks in serving God. Others answered the call to places that they didn't think possible. And what that means is that you all have experienced some of this manifold goodness of following God. But deep in my spirit, I believe that this next year will be even more powerful, that it will be even more promising, because the faith that we have been confirmed in, that has been built up and strengthened over this year, I believe in the coming year will be challenged. It will be put to the test. God will invite us to deeper and deeper experiences of faithfulness, to deeper and deeper encounters of service and building relationships and sharing Christ in our community. Last Saturday, your elders got together down in the basement over breakfast, and we prayed, and we read scripture together, and we listened as we sought to discern where God was leading us in 2018. And I'm going to go into some of those things in a little more detail at our congregational meeting. But some of the things that came up were a continued development in our preschool. Our preschool has been on a journey of redevelopment, and we've got a long ways to go, but we're on such a good path right now, and we're praying for leadership, we're praying for visionary leadership for our preschool. we talked about developing deeper partnerships in our downtown community with local outreaches, coming alongside our community, those who have deep needs and longings that only the Spirit of God can meet. To take risks in reaching new demographics with new and exploratory and entrepreneurial ministries that will bring Christ's message to a new group of people in different ways with different languages. Not literal languages, but a different presentation. And I don't know about you, but this gets me really excited. Listen, the call to follow Jesus is the most adventurous thing you will ever do, because it invites you to join something that the rest of the world thinks is silly. You get up on Sunday mornings to go where, when you could be drinking coffee and reading the New York Times or the Wall Street Journal? That sounds silly. It's amazing. This journey is amazing. To bless those who are weak, to those who are poor, to those who are brokenhearted, to peacemakers. That seems really weird. It's wonderful. To turn the other cheek instead of becoming consumed with rage and vengeance when somebody wrongs you, that makes no sense. To invest in things that don't necessarily turn a profit or gain status among the powerful and highly regarded, but rather yield a reward far beyond money, that sounds ridiculous. That's amazing. It is God's call. And you see how Simon responds to his buddies? You know, in our text today, the ESV translates it, "but at your word." I like the way the new RSV puts it when it says, "yet if you say so." Yet if you say so. This is the triumph of faith, of the move from discipleship to following Jesus, even when it doesn't make sense, to saying, "yet if you say so, Lord, I will do it." And when they did this, Jesus told them to throw their nets out into the water, and those nets became so heavy with fish that it took two or three boats to bring them ashore. When you choose not only to listen, but also to respond and to follow and do what he asks you, it will always be the very best thing for you. That's the lesson here. It's not if you follow Jesus, Jesus will make you economically prosperous. Even though some people want to turn this message into that message, that's not what Jesus is intending here. Do you know why? Because at the very end of this passage, do you know what the disciples do? Know what Simon and James and John do? They leave it all to follow him. It has nothing to do with the money. They are rich now. Make no mistake about it. They won the lottery. They hit the jackpot. But they leave it all behind because following Jesus is so much more valuable. It will bring so much more to our lives. None of these things matter. All of these things will wither in the presence of God's light and God's manifold graces to us. Jesus has come near to us. He invites you to follow him, to use what you already have, what you already possess for his good purpose. Then when the time is right, to truly trust him to take you to the place that doesn't make sense, and finally, to allow him to reveal to you what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled with the fullness of the living God. Let's pray. Oh God, if there is anyone here within the sound of my voice who thinks to themselves, "but I am just in fill in the blank. What could I do? How could I make a difference. I pray that this text would aliven our spirits, that it would remind us that what we have is enough to be used for your good purposes. And Lord, as we come into this new year, as we approach 2018, as we have begun, Lord, open our eyes. Allow us to hear and to respond to your calling, to your good purposes for us and for our community. God, we love you. We're grateful to be your people. And we pray this all in Jesus' strong name. Amen.
You have been listening to a podcast from Wabash Presbyterian Church. For more sermons and resources, please visit us at wabashpresbyterian.com.